Our thoughts and prayers go out to those in Florida who are affected by the collapse of the building. So many families have lost loved ones. Of course, many are still missing as I record this on Tuesday. Well, we do want to keep all the things going on in our country that concern us in our prayers, and let's be a good influence for good. Let us follow the example of Christ, treat other people like we want to be treated, and speak out for what's right. Not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Yes, this is the power of God that needs to be utilized. Well, this being the 4th of July, I want to wish everyone for the Morgan Street Church of Christ a safe and an enjoyable holiday. But we do need to be thankful for our freedom in this country, what we still have, and be concerned about what we can lose. Well, remember, this is the Lord's Day, and we need to worship God. Yes, we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, as Hebrews 10:25 reveals. Because it's a holiday, that doesn't mean we don't put God first, does it? Yes, this is the Lord's Day, and we look forward to worshiping God in the proper way, being with our brethren. And there will be time later for the festivities of the 4th of July. So this morning I want us to go to the book of Philemon for our study, as this is concerning Onesimus, a slave of a Christian. Philemon was a member of the Lord's church. And we're going to study about how forgiveness would be necessary, but also repentance and restitution if need be. That's also going to be involved. Yes, and we'll begin that study, and we'll probably spend several Lord's days on this study of the book of Philemon. We want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we need to, of course, realize how important that is. There's nothing more important than our eternal destiny. So this is exactly what we all need to be doing, preparing for eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we're going to study God's precious word. But then as we assemble in the worship service, we strive to worship God not only in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth, but also in spirit, having the proper attitude. John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention, we're willing to study the Bible with anyone, sit down together and see what does God's Word say. And also, of course, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. That address again is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study of the book of Philemon, and this will hopefully be a profitable study for us all. Yes, we want to make some introductory remarks before we get into the text. Onesimus was a runaway slave, and he needed to return and make amends to Philemon. Now, Philemon is the master of Onesimus, and yes, this occurred during the first century. And we want to deal with this more as we go on in our study of how Christianity would help remove the terrible situation of slavery. But now let's talk about Onesimus, excuse me, needed to return and make amends to Philemon, and Philemon needed to forgive his new brother in Christ. You know, far too many brethren have not made restitution when possible, having wronged someone, no matter whether it's a member or not a member. We need to make restitution when possible. Yes, that's what the Lord would have us to do. And sometimes brethren today are unwilling to forgive their brother or sister even after they have repented. That's wrong too, isn't it? And God knows everyone who's in these sins. We don't want to be among those in those sins. Certainly not. And since God is willing to forgive us of our sins as we obey the gospel of Christ, and yes, continue in the faith, how can anyone think that he can please God after having been forgiven of his sins, my sins, let's say, and then refuse to forgive someone else's sins when they've repented? There's no excuse for that, is it? Well, of course not. So let's get into our study and ask this question. Why did the Apostle Paul send Onesimus back to his master Philemon? We can all rejoice that while in Rome, Onesimus was able to obey the gospel of Christ. Yes, after learning the truth taught by Paul, the apostle. Yes, and something else about Paul at this time, he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so we keep that in mind as Onesimus was going to need to return. Now, we're not told why he ran away, but since Philemon was a Christian, could we not assume that Onesimus was treated fairly? Probably so. Now, did Philemon make any effort to teach Onesimus the gospel? Well, we're not told, certainly either situation, we don't know, so it's best not to assume, when the scriptures do not reveal that. But what is important in our study is this: Onesimus desired not only to be freed from being a slave, but thankfully he became interested in Paul's teaching concerning being freed from the burden of his sins and becoming a servant of the Lord. And so Paul wrote this inspired letter to Philemon that Onesimus was a very profitable servant of Christ, as you go to verses 11 through 13, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Paul saying he's profitable to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. It's coming from the inward part of Paul, whom I would have retained with me that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul is chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. And so that in itself is telling us that Onesimus, now as his brother in Christ, is helpful to him. He's doing things that Paul needs to be done. As Paul had to endure this imprisonment, that's not easy, is it? Well, no doubt Paul appreciated having his brother's aid, his comfort, his beloved fellowship during his confinement. I remember working at a prison many years ago as a corpsman out of the Navy. I got a job working in the medical department in the prison. And I recall, of course, visits from family and friends to those in the prison. Boy, they were highly valued. They weren't coming to the doctor's office unless it was really bad on Sundays when they had the visits. I can tell you that for sure. And And when I've done prison ministry work, both in Tennessee and in Indiana, I know how much the visits are appreciated through that as well. So despite the help which Onesimus was to Paul, it would have been wrong for Paul to keep him, since the right thing to do was for Onesimus to make restitution to Philemon, his former master. That's why the Apostle Paul sent Onesimus back to his master Philemon. Yes, that answers our question. Well, let's note some other things, though. What was Paul's objective? My son Onesimus, he calls him. Philemon, verse 10. Yes, he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon to reconcile the two brothers. There's a problem that needed to be resolved. So Onesimus, who's willing to return, needed to make restitution to Philemon for leaving his duties as a servant. He needed to repay as humanly possible any debt which he owed. Well, the scriptures do not reveal if Onesimus stole money or anything of value, but we can assume that he would have needed some money to travel over 1,000 miles from Colossae to Rome. Philemon lives in Colossae. Onesimus left Philemon's home and got all the way to Rome and hooked up with the Apostle Paul, thankfully, and as we know, obeyed the gospel. Did he seek out Paul? Possibly. We don't know. But notice, Paul was willing, here in verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or owe thee aught, put that on my account. Paul was willing to pay whatever the debt that Onesimus owed Philemon. But I'm going to throw this out. I think after Philemon read this inspired letter from his beloved Apostle Paul, he would have canceled Onesimus' debt. Yes, I think this letter would be right straight into his heart. And that's my opinion, for whatever it's worth. Well, let's see some examples here, of restitution. Zacchaeus, he's a good example of making restitution beyond what was required. As Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Luke 19:8. Now, he was a rich chief publican, wasn't he, Zacchaeus? And we see he was willing to do the right thing, though. But we need to point out something else here, and that's also involved in the reconciliation of Philemon and Onesimus, not only restitution, but what else? Forgiveness on the part of Philemon. Yes, this is a runaway servant who's now a brother in Christ, willingly returning and repented of his wrongdoing. Philemon needed to forgive Onesimus. Of course he did. And we too must follow the commands of our Lord and Savior. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day return to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The words of Christ, Luke 17:3-4. Peter asked, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Peter thought he was doing well to say 7. Notice Jesus corrected Peter. I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. In other words, every time your brother repents, you forgive him. Isn't that the point? Yes, it is. As we looked at Matthew 18:21-22 there. Yes, that's the bottom line, isn't it? We all should say yes, of course it is, because the Lord said it was. But let's go on now and ask this question. What are the characteristics of Paul's inspired letter? So let's begin with verse 1 and go through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Epaphras and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the communication, that is the fellowship of thy faith, may become effectual, that is working, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul's approach here is in the spirit of meekness. I think we'd all agree. Paul, as a good farmer, is preparing the soil before planting the seed. He's preparing the mind, the heart of Philemon, before making his request known. And Paul shows respect by addressing Philemon as our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, partner, fellow servant, fellow helper, fellow soldier. Dearly beloved is one of the descriptive terms Paul, with those others, used to describe other faithful Christians. 2 Corinthians 8:23, Philippians 2:25, chapter 4, 1 and 3, Colossians 1:7, for example. So let's ask ourselves, which words do we use to describe our brethren? Well, we notice next, Paul commends Philemon for his conduct and his convictions towards Christ, verses 5 through 7 that we just read. Well, some commentators call this letter the polite epistle because of the way Paul pleaded with Philemon instead of commanding him to do the right thing. We see that, do we not? So now let's notice verses 8 through 10. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So Paul the aged, he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, being chained around the clock. He makes a request that is reasonable. He does so in a spirit of meekness. Yes, and in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's follow through with Paul's inspired words here. Yes, when we go to a brother, sister overtaken in a fault. Excuse me. So Paul could be firm as well. As you note in 1 Corinthians 4:21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Which one do you want? Well, they should want the spirit of meekness, not the rod. But you see, sometimes it's necessary to be firm, and Paul would be at the right time. So Paul is pleading on behalf of Onesimus, and that should remind us of an advocate who pleads our case. Yes, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. 1 John 2:1-2. Christ is our advocate, yes, and he pleads our case as he is our advocate with the Father, God the Father. Well, let's go on and notice in verses 11 through 19, Paul's arguments are strong, but yet helpful to do the right thing. Verse 11, picking back up, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, my own bowels, receiving that as you would me, in other words, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, as we talked about earlier. He's helpful to Paul. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Could it be the providence of God involved? Well, that's a possibility. Not as a servant. Notice that. But above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. I'll bet I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Philemon was in debt to the Apostle Paul in a spiritual way, as we all should know. So Paul's approach here, well, as we noticed, was in the spirit of meekness, but also his arguments are strong and helpful to do the right thing, of course. And under the Roman law, an escaped slave who was caught could be disfigured, crippled, even put to death by the owner. But that's not an option for Christians, of course not. And so even though Onesimus was profitable to Paul, he knew what needed to be done, and he sent Onesimus, yes, who was willing to go back to Philemon and make things right, 11 through 14. And as we mentioned, God's providence likely had a part in this matter, verses 15 and 16. But let's ask ourselves, do we pray for God's providence? God's providence needs to be involved in our lives, doesn't it? Well, we are to pray for it. And in the work of the church with the leaders of all nations, we certainly need to be including that, do we not? So Paul's final arguments are aimed straight for the heart. Let's read 17 through 19 again. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself, like you're going to receive me. You receive Onesimus just the same. If he have wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I'm going to take care of it. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Yes, that's the situation. And so, who was responsible for Philemon obeying the gospel, the gospel of Christ? Yes, Paul, the apostle who wrote this inspired letter. So how could Philemon refuse to comply with Paul's request? I don't see how he could. Do you? I don't think he's going to read this letter, I think, and not do what Paul requested. I think his heart's melted when he reads this letter. Yes, of course it is. Christ is the only one who can take care of the debt of which we cannot pay. We need to bring that out. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way unto salvation. And study, that's John 14:6, Romans 5:6-11. But one last thing to mention, Paul's appeal was one of hope. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So Paul had an appeal here of hope, asking Philemon's help, and he has confidence that he will do even more than what Paul has requested. And of course, Paul wants Philemon to pray for him, to pray for his situation, as Paul often asked for the prayers of the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Romans 15:30, Philippians 1:19, Colossians 4:3, for example. So we asked ourselves, do we pray for one another as we should? Do we ask for our brethren to pray for us, or do we hide it? Not wanting to bring out that we need the prayers of the brethren. We shouldn't hide it. We don't have to tell every detail of situations, but we certainly can say, I sure am in need of your prayers, brother, sister, so-and-so. And even ask for the prayers of the church if needed. Yes, we need to take advantage of the spiritual blessing that is only in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. And so we'll have to put a peg here. And there's so much more to talk about as we want to discuss how Paul handled the delicate situation of Christianity versus slavery. So we'll plan to do that, Lord willing, next week. But at this time, we want to encourage anyone that has not obeyed the gospel. Why would you delay putting off what is the most important thing you can do? To submit to the will of God and live the best life possible and prepare for eternity. And so we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel as we need to hear the truth, the word of God, Romans 10:17. Then we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for my sins, for your sins. If we're accountable, that's right. John 8:24. Now, the next step is repentance. Perhaps this is the most difficult. To give up our will and do God's will. To turn my life around. Go in the right direction now. And Luke 13:3-5 is the commandment. After we've repented, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Matthew 10:32-33. Now, the next step is what puts us into Christ, and that's through the burial under the water, baptism. That's where we contact the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. And then we're going to live faithfully even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.